I think it's safe to say that Fox News host Bill O'Reilly doesn't shy away from controversies, especially about current events. But it's actually his take on history that's stirring up some trouble for him now, specifically his new book, Killing Lincoln. We actually spoke to Bill O'Reilly about this book. We interviewed him about it. We also reached him about the current controversy, and he declined. He and his folks declined to comment. But here's the controversy. A reviewer for the National Park Service recommended that the agency remove the book from its shelves, if it's there, because of, and I'm quoting here, its lack of documentation and factual errors. And another review from the Civil War Society says the book contains numerous errors and at least one passage that's flat out untrue. Here's Bill O'Reilly responding to these criticisms on his show.
In 325 pages, there are four minor misstatements, all of which have been correct. There are also two typeset errors, one involving a date. Now, that's a pretty good record, even for nitpickers who want to hurt the book.
Well, we want to actually sort through the facts here. I know we've got our friend Kenneth C. Davis, the author of Don't Know Much About History, and he's currently at work on Don't Know Much About Presidents. Ken, good morning.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be with you.
You know, let me ask you first, how hard is it to be completely accurate when you're writing about Lincoln? Is he a particularly difficult subject?
Well, given the fact that more has been written about Abraham Lincoln than any other American, I would safely say, I can't document that myself, but given the fact that there are more books published about Lincoln than any other, certainly any other president, and probably any other figure in American history, documenting this stuff is not that difficult anymore, especially with the internet and being able to read papers and see things online. But let me first also say, in full disclosure here, I know Bill O'Reilly. I've been on his show a number of times, and I'm not out to nitpick Bill O'Reilly.
No, this is an attack on Bill O'Reilly, but we kind of want to get to what we're really talking about here, which is the value of a historical book that has factual errors in it. I mean, to what extent does a history become moot? Do you stop reading it completely when there's enough factual problems in it?
I think that what Bill O'Reilly referred to in your bit there was some small nitpicky kind of things, and they are there. You know, they called it the Oval Office before it was actually called the Oval Office. You know, that seems to be fairly minor on the Richter scale. I actually opened the book, and the first page of it discusses Andrew Johnson, who is Lincoln's second vice president, taking the oath of office before 50,000 people. Well, that is inaccurate because he took the oath of office and gave a speech, and he was indeed drunk. The book has that right, but he did that in private in the Senate. In this book, he's presented as giving the speech in front of the entire public on Inauguration Day, which is inaccurate. So when I see that on page one, my antenna go up a little bit. The bigger problem, it seems to me, with this book is one that I haven't seen too many people pay note to in this controversy over the National Park Service, which is that it revives a very, very kind of old conspiracy theory that Edwin Stanton, who is the Secretary of War under Lincoln, was really behind this whole thing, a very elaborate conspiracy to kill Lincoln because he wasn't sufficiently his views on Reconstruction weren't punitive enough for Stanton. That story has been thoroughly debunked by historians over a long period of time.
Years and years.
And it threads its way through this book without any documentation again. Now, this is a book of popular history, and I understand that, and I accept that. But if you are going to take a stand on something that controversial, that has been around for 80 years, this idea, and has been debunked for most of those 80 years, it really does need a higher level of documentation. And this book does not offer notes and documentation. And that's okay in popular history. I think that's fair. It's fair to do that in a popular history. But when you take on something that is that controversial, you have to do more than just hang a few bits of, you know, laundry on the line and say, gee, this laundry doesn't look clean.
Okay, but speaking in general, maybe not specifically of this book, we're talking about Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Lincoln. Speaking in general, if you're talking about popular history, which would be a non-scholarly book written not by a scholar, right? it couldn't be a good read, right? And some of these things, like he got the date wrong on when Ford's Theater burned to the ground. Some of these, he got the acreage wrong on the farm. Some of those things, I guess you're saying, are kind of minor and not necessarily important?
I think that I would take exception with the acreage question. That's, you know, was it 500 or 800 acres? Getting the Ford's Theater burning to the ground is a little bit different because it didn't burn to the ground. It was burnt inside. It wasn't
right.
Fully destroyed. So
we got the year wrong,
you know,
and what happened.
There's a level of mistake, and as a historian, you want to be careful to avoid any mistakes, but you certainly want to avoid big ones. And I would say that, you know, the burning of the theater is a pretty big one. Putting Andrew Johnson giving his inaugural speech in front of the entire crowd of Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day is a pretty big one. Maybe most people, it wouldn't matter. But it does raise that level of care. And again, I come back to this issue of if you are going to put out an idea that is as big as the Secretary of War, one of the most powerful men in Lincoln's cabinet, was really behind Lincoln's assassination, it really needs more, a little bit more bones, flesh on the bones than just the skeleton that we get here.
So, I mean, in other words, what you're saying is you kind of reach a level of magnitude and factual errors where you worry about the rest of the book?
I think that's fair to say. I think that if you make a really big mistake, it makes you a little bit more leery of all the rest of the things that are stated. Again, this is not academic history, but on the other hand, a book like Doris Kearns Goodwin's Team of Rivals isn't academic history, but it's scrupulously footnoted. Or a book like Jay Winnick's April 1865, which treats the same subject. There are books that are written for the general reader, for the mainstream public, but they are scrupulously documented. And I think that's when you make a claim of this enormity, you have to be on spot.
You should probably have it backed up. Ken Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About History series. Thanks so much again, Ken.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.